A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. They gave a dinner for him. Martha served. Lazarus was at table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made with pure nard and anointed Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this because he cared nothing about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You have the poor with you always, but you do not always have me with you." And this is the gospel of the Lord. In 1958, Isaac Dinesen, I might not be pronouncing her name correctly, the Danish author who wrote Out of Africa, wrote a little work called Babette's Feast. It's the story of two elderly women who live in the bleak rural Jutland Peninsula, which is in the, I think, the west of Denmark. Now, we meet the women briefly as the story begins, and they're spinsters. They've never married, and they're trying to keep the little church that their father founded, a little austere, dying church. They're trying to keep it alive. But then we flash back and see them almost 50 years earlier. And they were young and they were beautiful. And they had their suitors. One of the daughters, Martine, was being courted by a dashing young Swedish cavalry officer. And the other, Philippa, was courted by an up-and-coming baritone in the Paris Opera. But their father disapproved of both of these guys, and so they decided to stay home, not pursue a life for themselves, but in a sense they gave their life to his dream and to his church. And so they lived drab, lonely lives for the next 35 years until Babette shows up in their world. Babette is escaping the political violence in her hometown of Paris. So she's come there with a letter of recommendation from the opera singer. His name is Achille, that matters. And Babette goes to the two women with this letter that recommends her as a wonderful housekeeper. And the woman said, "We don't have the money to hire a housekeeper." She says, "I'll do it for free." So for the next 14 years, Babette keeps house for these elderly women. And she cooks them the bland meals that they require because they wouldn't want to take too much pleasure in any worldly thing. Till one day, Babette learns that a friend who has purchased every year a lottery ticket for her, she learns that her ticket that year won. And she won 10,000 francs, which in the 1890s was a considerable amount of money, although not, you know, you wouldn't want to go out and buy a yacht with it. And so Babette goes to the women and she says, "Yeah, I know your father's 100th birthday is coming up. We should celebrate. Let me cook a real French meal for you." And so the women agree, and Babette goes about preparing to cook a feast. A feast. She sends to Paris and to other places for exotic and delightful things. And as they begin to arrive in this little town, the women begin to fear that this might be too much pleasure for them to have. So they decide it would be rude for them not to eat the meal, but they won't act like they enjoyed it. It must have been a Presbyterian church. And so Babette prepares and she cooks, and the day of the feast arrives, and one of the guests is Lauren, who's the Swedish cavalry officer. Now he's a general, a famous general. He was invited by his aunt, who still lives in the village, to come to the meal. So he comes. He'd been an attaché in Paris. And as the meal is served and he tastes it, he says, "This is amazing. This is as good as any meal you could have at the Café Anglaise in Paris, the best restaurant in Paris." And the town loved the meal, although most of them didn't say it. But amazing things happened during the meal, too. Old animosities died. Old loves were rekindled. And there was resurrection in that little village. Life came back. After the meal, I think it was Martine, one of the women, went to Babette, and she said, "I suppose now you'll go back to your old life in Paris." And at that point, Babette confesses that she had been the head chef at the Café Anglaise, where dinner for 12 cost 10,000 francs. But she also confided that she spent all her winnings, her fortune, on that feast. And so she couldn't afford to go anywhere. She would remain. And Martine said, "Oh, how sad. You will be poor for the rest of your life." Probably true. Did Babette squander and waste her fortune? Was it foolish for her to throw that feast? In the gospel today, we find Jesus just days after he called Lazarus from his tomb. We find him only days from his own tomb. And he is in Bethany, and he's with friends. But think of the type of celebration this must be. Because they're celebrating life. They're celebrating the Jesus who found their brother dead and brought him back to life. They're celebrating the one who transcends death. At least he sure did it for their brother. And so there is joy in this room. And Martha's doing what Martha does best. She's cooking. She's giving her gift. And Lazarus is doing what men do best. He's sitting down at the table ready to eat. But Mary, look at what Mary did. She took a pound of aromatic perfume, pure nard, worth about a year's wages, 300 denarii. Nard was an import from India. It was very expensive in Jesus' world. And that 300 plus denarii, that would have been in today's dollars, almost if not in excess of $100,000. This wasn't a little bottle of Chanel, even an expensive one. This was a huge gift of love. And she takes this gift and she pours it on Jesus' feet, anointing those feet, rubbing them tenderly, caring for them. The aroma of the perfume, John says, filled the room. It blessed everyone there with this beautiful fragrance. And it blessed Jesus. It was wasteful blessing, perhaps, but blessing nonetheless. And then she does something even more extravagant. She takes her hair. The hair of a woman, I think it's in the book of Proverbs, the hair of a woman is her glory. She takes her hair and she dries his feet and wipes them. This is intimacy. This is sensual. This invites us into a place of pure love at every level. Now, at every garden party, there is a skunk. And in this particular one, we've got Judas, right? Who says, "Hey, couldn't this have been better used? Couldn't we have sold that nard perfume and used the money for the poor?" Is that a bad question? I mean, Judas is not my favorite guy in the Bible, but I mean, even a broken clock is right twice a day. Is he right? Could there have been a better use for that perfume? A more practical use? Jesus doesn't think so. He says, "Leave her alone. She's doing this for me, and I won't be here forever. So let her be kind in the way she chooses to be kind. Let her be extravagant. Let her be wasteful. Because she is giving me a gift that prepares me for what's coming in my life. This is an act of tenderness to prepare me and to help me through so many acts of violence." And Jesus says, "The poor you'll always have with you. Not so me." Now, is Jesus saying there, he's saying, "Don't worry about the poor, you got to have them all the time, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry." No, he's quoting from Deuteronomy 15, I think 11. "The poor will always be in your land, therefore be open-handed with the poor. Be generous, be kind to them." He's not saying forget them. He's not saying it's either or, he's saying it's both and. Give to the poor, certainly, but then waste something on me too, because that's worthwhile. That's the way you show me that you love me in and for myself. And so I think the challenge of this gospel is, where do we keep our nard? Right? Where is the precious thing that we have to waste on Jesus? And I would suggest at least one place to look is our time. Nothing is more precious than time. We only have so much of it. We don't know how much we have. When we use it, it's gone. And we live in a very practical world that says we should do practical things. Don't waste time. And I would like to say, contrary to that, waste time. Waste time on your love for Christ. Waste time here. You could all be gardening now, or painting a room or fixing a car or dusting something. I don't know what you have to do at home, but you could all be there doing it, but you're choosing to be here. Nothing is getting accomplished here. You're wasting your time in love for Christ. And that's what makes this time so beautiful. There's a little book for kids and for adults too, I suppose, The Little Prince, written by Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. And it's a story about a little prince who's going through the universe trying to find something to protect the rose that is on his planet, because he lives in a very small planet and there's only one little rose there. And he meets a fox, and the fox is very wise, and they become friends. But then the little prince sees a whole rose bush. He said, well, there are so many roses. Why is my rose special? And the fox says to him, it is the time that you've wasted on your rose that makes your rose so special. It's the time we waste on the people we love that makes those relationships so special. It's the time we waste on our love for God that allows us to tell God, you're special. We waste our time in worship. We waste our time in prayer. We waste our time in the scriptures. We accomplish nothing when we do all those things except to determine who we are. And who we are becomes very important to what we do. Who we are, if we waste our time on God, is we are godly people. That doesn't make us better than other people, but it makes us more conscious of the sacredness of our time, more conscious of how we use our time wastefully, letting God know we love him. Time for meditation, time for prayer. How often do we say, I don't have time for that. I'm so busy all day, I don't have time to read the Bible today. I don't have time to pray or to meditate. Yes, we do. We just think other things are more important. We take the Judas route and not the Mary route. But this gospel asks us to be different. This gospel asks us to be wasteful in our love for our Lord, who is so wasteful in his love for us that he gave everything for us, every last drop of his blood, life itself, for us. Martine has just said to Babette, now you shall be poor for the rest of your life. But Philippa, her sister, says, no, there's more. There's more. Babette, in paradise, you will be the artist God made you to be. And then the last lines of the book. Oh, Philippa says, how you will enchant the angels. How you will enchant the angels. How will we, today, with our choices, with our wasteful love, how will we enchant the angels.